Okay, so after you graduated high school, then what?
After I graduated from high school, I graduated from high school in 1961. About a month later, my mother decided to move to Chicago. And she decided for some reason to take myself and my baby brother Charles to Chicago. We went to Chicago and stayed there with Mabel, one of my sisters there in Chicago. We stayed there, and I went to work in Chicago at Spiegel Catalog. It's a shipping company there. I worked there for 2 years, and I couldn't adjust to city life because this old country boy. Big city life, as opposed to Greenville, Mississippi, and being in the South, being born and raised in the South, I was used to a certain type of prejudice, of course.
Right.
But when I moved to Chicago, that was also prejudice, but it was on a different level. In the Mississippi, for instance, you knew that was prejudice. It was there. The people let you know it, and you knew it. It's just as simple as in Chicago, it was more or less hidden prejudice. For instance, while seeking a job in Chicago, I was informed that there were certain areas that I need not even go to apply for a job because they were going to turn me down. But they were going to do it mildly, let me down easy.
Right.
And me being this curious type, I tried a few. Right. Found this to be true. For instance, there was a place called Cicero in Chicago. This was supposed to be a more or less Italian settlement area where Al Capone, I'm sure you've heard of him, his area, in other words. So I guess they were still trying to keep it that way. When I went over there, I remember the place that I went to, Brax Candy. They still sell it, right? I'm going to be Brax Candy. I went to that manufacturer, and the treatment that I got when I walked in was worse than any I've ever had in Mississippi, really. But I had been warned not to go over there, but just for curiosity. And I wanted to see because I was going to what I thought was a dreamland, and what people had led me to believe was the paradise from leaving Mississippi. Well, anyway, after going through all these different areas, I finally found a job at Spiegel Catalog. I worked there for 2 years, but it was hard for me to adjust to having to put my money in my shoes. Well, they even told you, put your money in your socks, put your socks on, put your shoes on, tie them up tight, and if you got extra string, you understand where I'm coming from? Because if you don't, when you get home, you're not going to have it. It was just that bad in the big city. At that time, we're talking about 61, 62. And I found this to be true. It never happened to me, but I witnessed a lot of it on the buses. You have to ride the transit buses back and forth to work, because driving cars in Chicago to work and back and forth is almost impossible. It was almost impossible then, and I'm sure today it's even worse because of the vast amount of cars there. But anyway, I witnessed several times people on the bus bumping people, and when they finished bumping them, they didn't, if they had jeans on, the pocket was missing and the billfold too. That's how good they were. I witnessed this, but I had been previously told, if you see something, don't see it.
Right.
You see, that was another thing I couldn't adjust to, because in the old back home Greenville, Mississippi, if I saw that, I would help in some way. Maybe not try to be a hero.
Right.
But I would help in some way that this person would have been captured somewhere along the way. But there, everybody, even my family, that when I went up there, that had been there, watched on me. Oh no, if you see, you don't see. Mind your own business, don't got your business. I couldn't handle that. Being an old country boy living in a country town and coming from
everybody,
everybody. I didn't have to close my doors. I didn't have to lock, you know. I came up during that area where your neighbors watched your house. They didn't go try to steal your house. They watched your house. You know. And where if there was a fight on the corner, everybody didn't get around and make a ring and say, okay, you know, one that dropped first is the loser. They stopped the fight. And if it was one of my mother's friends, we got that spanking then, right then, at the site. And when mama come home or dad come home, well, we knew what we had in store again. See, and then in Chicago, that was, I'm not down in Chicago. This just happened to be where I went. It was a lot different. And I lived across the street from a large parkway where children were supposed to be able to play as long as they wanted to. But then, even back then, we're talking about the gangs now where they were. That was one of the originating places, Chicago. I didn't know anything about gangs until I got to Chicago. I had heard about them and never had any interest. But after I got there, I witnessed a lot of things over in the parkways that the children would go be over there playing ball or softball or kickball or whatever. A couple of gang members would come over there and beat up somebody and take the beer phone, go on about the business. And I'm standing there in my third floor window looking out across the park watching this, and they telling me, don't go over there. If you go over there and get involved, it'll be you next, and all of this. All this soaking in. And at the time, I'm a young 20, 21 year old, you know, trying to make it in the big city.
So coming from Mississippi, where you was free to roam as you please, you were restricted to
I was
house.
Restricted. You have it right there. I was totally restricted. As a matter of fact, afraid to go out and play with friends, what I call friends there. But see, there's another thing. Friends in Mississippi were friends, you know, buddies. I mean, you know, running buddies. We didn't go around trying to hurt anybody. The worst thing we did was go buy some 75 cent wine to try to get a buzz, you know what I mean? I remember one friend of mine had a car when I went to school. Now everybody's got them from kindergarten up, seems that way. But I'm talking about 12th grade, where I had one friend that had a car, and we would all take turns riding with him. Of course, that was his way of getting gas money, because he charged us 25 cents, and that's what gas cost at that particular time, 25 cents a gallon. So it's three of us rode with him, and he had 25 cents. That's $1 worth of gas. That's all day. So we rode around all day, not realizing we were paying for the ride. Well, we had fun in the only car that, you know, that the students had.
Right.
Anything else parked out there in front of school was teachers,
right.
Or principals.
Okay, so after you worked at this job, then what? You worked there for 2 years.
I worked there for 2 years, and I just, after 2 years in Chicago and some of the things that I mentioned, I just decided it wasn't for me. And I told my mom I was ready to go back to Greenville, Mississippi. She wanted to know, of course, why did I want to go back to where I wanted to leave in the first place. And I told her, because it's better than where I am now. She said, son, you grown enough to make your decision. So I, you know, of course, reluctantly, I left because I guess I might have been called mama's baby at the time. But I had to turn mama loose because mama didn't want to go back to Mississippi. And she was settling in Chicago because my sisters and everybody there was taking care of her. And I left and took a bus to the old Greyhound back down the old path to Greenville, Mississippi. And when I got back to Greenville, Mississippi, there was no job, of course. And I saw myself diminishing in respect, I would say. In other words, walking the streets. Because I was on my own. I'm on my own for the first time now, see. And I'm back in my old stomping ground. So I'm you know, I'm running back into people that I was running with before. But for some reason, their character is different now, and everything is different. So I'm grown. I'm grown now. I can make my own decisions. I decided to run with, I guess, the bad group and hang around there. That was a street in Greenville, Mississippi called Nelson Street. of course, you always have one in the city where everybody hang out in all the so-called juke joints. You name it, prostitution, pimp, everything. That's drugs. Well, that batch of time, I'll take that back. I knew nothing of drugs then. It was unfamiliar to me when I came up in the early days in the city. The biggest drug we encountered was alcohol itself, or smoking a regular cigarette. We didn't know anything about drugs as it is today. When I went to Chicago, I didn't go out that much, but they were there, but I didn't go out that much to be involved, so I wasn't aware it was going on in Chicago, really, because I didn't go out and party, per se, as like a young person would when they get to the big city, they want to see what it's all about. I was afraid. I was afraid to meet people because I found out that northern people, at that particular time, I don't know how it is now, I don't go to Chicago that much unless I'm going to a family reunion or something like that. But at the time, when you met a person on the street, I was used to saying good morning, how are you, and all this, and they'd look at me like I was crazy. You understand? They would actually look at me like I was crazy, like, where is he from? Something. The expression would say, get out of my face. In other words, I'm not in the mood to say even good morning to you, because it's not a good morning for me, or something like that. And as a result, I stopped speaking, you know, because, you know, I was glad to get back home. But I guess I had, for 2 years, been around that type of person, people in Chicago. When I got back to Mississippi, I wasn't as generous with my good mornings as I had been before I left there. And people accused me of going up north and getting biggity. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't that. I just had to start back over again, and it took a little time.
Right. So after you got back to Mississippi, how long was it before you got stable again in your life?
Okay, I got back to Mississippi, and let's see, I left Mississippi in 61. I came back in 63, in July of 63. So we're talking about, it took me July, August, September, 3 months of just walking the streets, no job, working here for a meal, working there for a meal, going to my sister's house or something like that to eat. And I just got tired of that. And I decided, along with a good high school friend of mine, to go into the military.
Okay, before you go into that part, could you kind of describe for me, because I know during the 1963, during that time, that it was really a really racial tension going on in the South.
Oh, yes.
But okay. Mississippi and Alabama in general.
In general.
So.
Yes. Yes, we had it.
I mean, were you ever caught up in it? I mean, did you ever witness any demonstrations, any, you know, anything happening?
Not like what happened in Birmingham. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
The Bull Connors and all this. No, I never witnessed any of that in Mississippi. It was there, but see, it was happening more or less around Jackson, Mississippi, which is the capital, state capital. And it was happening more or less there or down around Biloxi or a place like that. Greenville, there was a lot of prejudice. It was open prejudice, but I guess because of the percentage of blacks in the city, there was not too much open hostility. There were drive-by, hey, niggers, you know what I'm saying? There were drive-by shouts of,
from afar.
Right, from afar, of course, yeah. Because, like I said, we were in numbers in my hometown. And we didn't get all this confrontation because we weren't armed, per se, with weapons, but we were armed as far as sticking together. We always stuck together. In the place we went, there was always somebody near or somebody with you, because we knew that's what it took to survive or to make it to from point A to point B,
right.
Unmolested.
Right.
Okay, so Yeah, we ran into prejudice. It was open prejudice, like I said, so it was no surprise in place you went. For instance, if you wanted to go to the movie, and I can say this from experience too, if you wanted to walk to the, you had to walk, of course, we didn't have cars. You want to walk to the movie, if your girlfriend was light-skinned, and I mean, you know, light-skinned to a point where you would think they would make a mistake about her race, you wouldn't walk to the movie with her. And a lot of that happened as far as it came to the point where you were afraid to get a light-skinned girlfriend. You understand what I'm saying? You,